Exactly.
Hi, this is Eileen of another episode of Artists with Anxiety. I am here with Kieve Roadheaver, who is a local podcaster and artist. So we're here to talk about what they're doing and all the fun stuff. Well, fun stuff, I guess, and
all the fun stuff.
What kind of things that you're dealing with up here?
Oh, yeah.
You're doing all the fun things.
All the fun things.
So the dreaded question of, like, tell me about yourself. So I already mentioned that introduced you as a creative podcaster. So tell me how you are creative.
Yeah, so I guess I am a podcaster. I am the host of Please Touch the Art podcast. It's a chat style, interview style, art history / local artist interview podcast. It's meant to be, like, for adults and accessible. I also teach art history at Otterbein University. So my first semester doing that, my students, I think they like me. Like, I think they talked to me after class today, and I was like, oh my god, it's happening, I've arrived.
I'm a real adult.
Now my students come up and be like, oh my god, I'm so excited about this thing. And I'm like, here, go run, butterfly. Anyway, so that was really exciting for me today. And I paint. My flavor of the week medium is gouache.
Ooh.
Because I'm usually a watercolor artist and an acrylic artist, and it's like an angry baby of the two. And I've
never heard it referred to it like that.
I had such a difficult time mastering it, and I really, really wanted to master it because I had seen, like, other people, and I was like, in my head, I was like, this must be the perfect medium for me if only I can master it, and here we are. I also, weirdly enough, have an undergrad in vocal performance.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm a classically trained lyric soprano.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm trying to break back into the music scene, but, like, it's a little hard when you're not a religious person to, like, break into the music scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if you can't dance like I can. But, yeah, I think those are most of the creative things that I would consider myself to be good at.
Okay.
Well, that's good. That's definitely
Thank you.
You do a lot.
And we'll post links and stuff in the descriptions and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So then only tell me, like, what you're comfortable with, but, like, what kind of, like, mental health issues are you struggling with?
So, clearly I have anxiety. That's why I'm here. I don't know if this counts, but I also have the good old seasonal affective disorder.
Woohoo!
Which I didn't realize how bad it was until I moved to Ohio, but here we are.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's
my first winter was rough. I also think I have ADHD, but I'm undiagnosed. I also have PTSD, and we're looking into whether or not I have a sleep disorder at the moment.
Well, that's great. All of that.
Okay. The sleep disorder is the one that will be the most fun and honestly is my biggest struggle at the moment,
really?
If it's a real thing. Because that chronic fatigue is like...
Oh,
I'm jokingly saying it's the thing that keeps me up at night. But here
great.
We are.
Perfect.
So those are the big ones. Those are the struggles right now.
I feel that.
Yeah.
So how does that kind of affect your work when you're either teaching or you're recording or painting?
So I think that one of the things that I like, everything is a process and different things are hard at different times. Right now my biggest, like, thing that I am struggling with is fitting everything that I need to do into a neat balance with everything that I want to do and everything that, like, my body needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I have come to a point in my understanding of my life that until, like, I can get things better under control, that I need to have naps in my schedule. I just need to build it in. I need to let go of the idea that I don't need it, etc. I also, like, currently am staying up really late for me, because I'm also, I also am a barista, and I open, and then I have, so just the amount of, like, sheer amount of stuff that I have to do is the really big struggle. Another thing that I am struggling with that's like on the flip side is I finished my MFA in December of 2017.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Thank you. And my work at the time dealt with body dysphoria, disassociation, and the isolation of being trans and figuring out like how you want to be, what you want to look like, and like I was the only trans person in my program, and like I was the first person to quote unquote transition like during the program because I was briefly medically transitioning. Anyway, it's a mess. Testosterone's wild. Testosterone's a wild drug, and I don't want any part of it anymore.
Done with that.
I'm done with that. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. anyway, but I decided that wasn't for me after my MFA, but one of the things that I really struggled with was, and granted, at the time, I was in an abusive relationship, and, like, several... I was briefly housing insecure in 2016, and, like, I don't know, there just was, like, a lot happening, and when I would walk into my studio, my artwork would trigger me, because I would see it, and I'd be like, wow, this is my body blown up really large, and it wasn't, like, literally my body, but, like, it was, like, how I felt, and I would just walk into the studio and encounter all of my feelings.
Right.
So, right now what I'm trying to do is... Or right now what I'm doing mostly with my painting is I've been doing portraiture because I want to kind of find, like, a nice, like, space where I can continue creating without hurting myself. And, like, for a while I've been working on a pride portrait series.
Yes, where I love that on Instagram.
Thank you. Where I've just been painting, like, either queer people that I know or who have submitted to... my call for photos to paint from. And this is kind of like in the meantime until I can find a way to work on my hard stuff again, because I think it's important for me, maybe not for everybody, but for me it's really important for my work to deal with the hard stuff. Like right now I would like to create a body of work surrounding some of the toxic relationships that I've encountered, be them friendships or like romantic relationships, but I don't, like, at the end of the day I don't want to enter my studio and be like, ooh, this feeling again. So I don't know, and I guess this is going to segue into some of your other questions, but I'm trying to build some of my therapy routines and self-care routines into my art practice and perhaps into the final product. So
okay,
we're going to see how that goes. Yeah. It's really, like, ethereal. Not happening yet. It's fine.
So then when you are having, like, a... the computer fell asleep. It also wants to take a nap. So when you're kind of going... When you find yourself in the studio and you do have, like, a freak-out moment, are there steps that you take to kind of walk yourself back away from that and to calm down?
Yeah, so I don't have a huge studio practice at the moment, or rather, I don't have a place that is only my studio right now.
I feel that. I have a corner of the bedroom studio.
Right. So there's something different that I would do now than I wouldn't have done, like, in my studio then. First of all, I've done a lot of therapy. I'm in a group therapy. It's super good.
Okay.
It's like... if you're in the Columbus area and you're trans, like, Stonewall and North Central have this, like, really good group therapy that they've partnered. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. All the people in it are folks who are just trying to feel better, get their feels out, etc. But anyway, so I've learned a lot through therapy. And one of the things that works really well for me is we do something that colloquially we've called putting our thoughts on trial.
Oh, okay.
But essentially what that is when you encounter a thought like, the thought being, my art sucks, I guess. And then the thoughts on trial would be, why do you think your art sucks? Who has told you your art sucks? What evidence do you have that tells you your art doesn't suck? For me, I have a master, like, not everybody's going to have this, so it's like your own personal accomplishments. It can be, I have a master's. I have a loving community on Instagram that likes my stuff, and even if they don't comment or, like, really interact with me, they regularly like my things. There's no one coming up to me telling me that my artwork is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so there's absolutely, and, like, it's still, the thought's still going to be there, but, like, it's, you know, it's nice. And, like, another one that I really struggle with is, like, something silly, like, oh, I burned the food. Everyone's gonna hate me. Well, no one's gonna hate you because you burned the food. You just might have to eat burned food.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one. I also do a lot of grounding techniques. So one of the really easy ones is you can notice the things around you. Like, you can say, the walls are white. This is blue. Like, I am breathing through my mouth right now. Or I, like, have... I'm touching my legs, etc.
Yeah.
Another really good one that I like, and I think that this is one of my, like, really big ones, because there's stuff that you just can't, like, dismiss, or you can't just, like, I don't know, it takes a longer time to go through, is you can do something called the container method.
Oh, okay.
And the container method, my personal container method, is a Bud Light truck, so it can drive away from me. But the container method is you essentially go, I have all of these thoughts and feelings and I can't deal with them right now because I'm at work or I am painting or I am, etc. And you put the thoughts inside of the container, and you visualize yourself locking it up and putting it away. Mm-hmm. And when you have time to open up those thoughts again, you visualize yourself opening it up and letting the thoughts out.
Okay.
And that helps you compartmentalize so that you don't have to focus on your trauma 24/7. Mine even has, like, a partition where all the bad things and the bad thoughts go on one side, and then, like, things like I'm grieving certain family members that don't talk to me anymore, I can put them in the nicer side with, like, the floral couch and the carpet and etc. Or, like, I don't know, let's say I wake up sad one day because my childhood dog died, like, 3 years ago. Well, the dog's on the nice side with the carpet.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, so it just really is, like, very nice for me. Also, like, the being able to step away. I have a really funny story about me falling asleep on a concrete floor underneath paintings inside of my studio, because I knew if I went home, I wouldn't come back, but I needed a nap.
Big mood.
hard mood. And everything is a process, and I actually, I think that I'm just still in process, and that's okay.
Yeah, and it's almost a self-discovery kind of thing, that what might have worked a couple years ago might not work now, and you have to find something new, and I definitely had to have done that before with my cognitive therapy sessions.
What I'm looking into at the moment, actually, is I want to go to Equitas Health because they have a sliding scale fee, which works really well for me because I still, like, fly under the sliding scale fee with my zero health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
People like that. Anyway, but one of their therapists specializes in EMDR, and not a licensed professional, but, like, everything that I've heard about EMDR, a lot of people have, like, really done very well with it, and I think, considering how well I already do with, like, the replacement of the thought and the container method, etc., I think that it would be a good next step for me.
That's awesome. I feel like I've heard of the EMDR before, and I think there's another guest I'm going to be recording with later that's also going to talk about that. So
yeah,
it's nice to see the kind of common thinking from that.
Yeah,
for all the creatives too. It's great.
Yeah.
So then, was there ever, like, a specific instance where you had to mentally fight to be creative, like you had a deadline, but you, like you said, you needed a nap, so you had to take the break.
Oh gosh.
Like how did you, what was the result? Was it successful? Was it...
So I, like I said, right now I'm kind of working with my work-life balance,
mm-hmm.
even at the moment, and currently I'm kind of like flying on borrowed time at the moment,
yeah.
mm-hmm. In that I have to be awake and at work at 6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a person who has a life, and like I work if only including like the times that I'm in the coffee shop and in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
I work 40 hours a week.
Whoa.
This isn't including my painting practice or my podcasting,
yeah, exactly.
et cetera, et cetera. So I currently at this very moment don't have a good answer to this question, because
mm-hmm.
right now I'm just staying up until midnight and hoping that I don't crash.
It's a process. So we talked a little bit about like what you already kind of do with your thought process. Do you have like any a self-care routine kind of thing that keeps you also balanced?
Yeah, I think I do have a self-care routine. I kind of like, I think part of my self-care routine has been taking a moment back and understanding that I can't always go hard or go home as far as the content of my artwork is.
Mm-hmm.
Is like doing its due. I don't know, words are hard. But I don't know, I'm an extrovert, and I know a lot of people are not introverts, or rather are introverts,
mm-hmm.
especially in the artist community. I usually encounter more introverts.
I know I'm one.
anyway, so a lot of my self-care is allowing myself to continue making my social engagements,
mm-hmm.
even if it seems like I shouldn't.
Okay.
Like, because I have a lot to do, and yeah, like, it's gotta get done sometime, but, like, if I don't see people, if I don't, like, leave my house or whatever, then I will become very sad, and, I start, and, like, just being sad leads to, like, feeling like a failure, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep my social engagements, I try to keep my social calendar under control.
Mm-hmm.
I try to take time to be... I have a hammock now. It's
Ooh.
A game changer. And what's really game-changing about the hammock is you can be like, I have to be across town at 4 o'clock, and it is 2 o'clock, but I need a nap. Well, you can go across town and then set up your hammock, and then you wake up and you're there. And that's life-changing.
That's amazing.
So as far as like self-care, I also... I guess another thing that I've been doing, which is kind of art-related, but not really, is I also struggle with dermatillomania, which is excessive skin picking.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh my god, that's just related to my eczema, but like, oh my god, I'm sitting there at work,
yeah.
Like, I need to be doing things.
anyway, and like, one of the problems is if it gets out of control, then my hands start to hurt, and it starts
mm-hmm.
to be hard to do things, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually like... make sure to lotion my hands at night.
Mm-hmm.
That way, like, when I'm sleeping, it helps with, like, the healing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, a good, nice combination of being social, being outside, making sure I actually build my naps into my schedule instead of crashing randomly and then
mm-hmm.
scrambling at the last minute, which is what I love to do.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I love my naps, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I guess those are the other self-care issues that I didn't mention earlier.
Okay. So then we talked briefly about, you know, like your group therapy and like proper treatment for a lot of these different mental illnesses. And I talk about my, that I'm on anti-anxieties and I've done therapy and I probably should go back, but the whole budget thing. So you already kind of talked about the different therapies. Do you use any other proper treatments to
yeah.
manage things?
I've been in cognitive behavioral therapy for several years now, and or what you call talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my therapist, I wouldn't necessarily think that my therapist like technically like labels herself as a mindfulness therapist, but my therapist believes in mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to practice mindfulness activities when I can. I have not been on mental health medication unless you consider testosterone to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because testosterone can be so alleviating for some people, and that was what I was hoping for when I started testosterone. And it's okay that it wasn't for me. It's for a lot of people, though. But I guess I also, as far as mental illnesses are concerned, I think that those are the major treatments that I've been through. Is mostly just a lot of therapy. So much therapy.
I mean, therapist that
I'm a big good. Fan. I miss my therapist all the time, and I think about texting him randomly. Hey, remember all those things you said that I was going to do and I thought I couldn't do? Well, turns out I did the thing anyway, so I'm waiting for that I told you so look. I'm also familiar with.
Yeah. Those good old boundaries. Oh, I forgot about the boundaries.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
This is actually like something that the DSM isn't in agreement for as to whether or not this is like a mental health disorder or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also codependent or recovering codependent.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while I thought codependency meant it's two people in a relationship who are just like can't extract each other from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you can be codependent by your damn self. So being codependent essentially means that you either latch onto a person or multiple persons, and you give yourself to that person or persons for so long, for so hard, without any question, without any regard for your self-care, to a point where you essentially, like, just, you just don't have anything else other than taking care of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to, like, find, like, who you are after that, and a lot of times, and one of the reasons why they don't actually put this in the DSM is because marginalized folk, women especially, caregivers for people who are struggling with addiction,
mm-hmm.
or caregivers of people with other disabilities often develop codependency, and anyway, it's just something that is more societally trained in us rather than a chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is completely, like, recoverable, similar to, like, with enough treatment, borderline personality disorder also is completely recoverable.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, moving on. So, my boundaries are very small and very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only had them for, like, a year now. And it's, like, life-changing to tell someone.
Yay!
No. It's amazing. It's, like, amazing. There was something that, like, clicked in my head, like, 6 months ago. Somebody, like, asked, I don't even remember what it was, somebody asked me to do this thing, and I was like, I just don't want to do it, and I'm going to suffer if I do this, but they are also suffering, and if they suffer, and I suffer, and we're suffering together, it's fine. And then I was like, wait a minute. I don't have to suffer. And, like, for, like, a week straight, I was, like, going around, like, opening doors to people's houses and being like, hey, guys, I don't have to suffer anymore. I don't have to suffer just because somebody else is suffering. It's great. Anyway.
Boundaries.
That is wonderful. I'm glad. That's fantastic, because I feel like that's half the battle is figuring out, like, reestablishing a lot of those,
yeah.
too.
And I still, like, ask people, like, hey, do you think this is a reasonable boundary? can I tell that person over there that can't have my entire plate of nachos? I want, like, at least three. You know.
Big mood.
Big mood. Big mood.
Yep.
Boundaries are hard.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we've talked for, like, almost half an hour.
My bad.
No, please, this is good. I'm excited. So, while to wrap up, like, why don't you tell us how we can find out more about you if you're on...
Oh, yeah.
I know you're on Instagram,
I'm on
but, like...
Well, no, I'm not. That's a lie. I'm on most things. So, it depends on what you want to follow me on.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's my thesis, but a few other things are on my personal website. My personal website is krodehaverart.com. I didn't think it through when I got this URL, but here we are. Anyway, it's got my thesis on it and, like, some other art things. Eventually, it's going to have my podcast on it, too, but that's not up and running yet. My podcast is on Instagram and on Twitter. On Instagram, it's the handle all one word, Please Touch the Art Podcast. And on Twitter, I am Please TT Art. Like, please tart with an extra T.
That's cute.
The Please Touch the Art was too long for Twitter. And I was like, I was like, which words should I cut? Well, art and please seem like... Anyway,
the
it's
main
fine.
Part, yeah.
The main part. I also am on Instagram with my personal art at kieve.art. I guess if you want to find my, like, teaching stuff, come to Otterbein. I don't know. I don't have boundaries. But anyway.
And I'll post links. I just got off done being sick, so I'm, like, still mentally not all here anymore.
You're good. I've been awake since
packing up along 5.
No. I did, so I watched more than one of your episodes. I honestly watched, like, 3 of them. And in one of them, it was like, please shower. And I went, but I showered today. So I immediately went home and showered.
Yes!
Just for you.
Oh, yes. You actually reminded me of my obligatory disclaimer that we are not healthcare professionals. We are not mental health professionals by any stretch. So please go seek help, whether it's talking to a friend, talking to an actual professional. I'll post links to the Equitas thingy below. Or medication, or talk to your actual doctor, whatever you need that will help, please, 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 please seek help. And it's always...
Ooh, Ohio Health also has a really good sliding scale. It's called HCAP. I actually, like, it's better. I, like, it's free for me to get HCAP, and I still have to pay money at Equitas. It's great. Anyway, sorry. That's, like, random.
No, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Info is good. I like info. So, please seek the help that you need it. We like you here on this earth, so we'd love to... If you have any questions, comments, please, you know, comment, like, subscribe. All that YouTube-y goodness is awesome. And hopefully you'll join me for another episode. More upcoming episodes. There are multiple that I have scheduled. So, please join us the next time, and thank you guys so much. Bye.
Bye.